What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here, Fern of This Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about Disney's brand new streaming service, Disney Plus. A lot of information got announced during a live webcam with CEO Bob Iger, and also in the quarterly results. So Disney Plus is now the official name for the Disney streaming service. It includes content such as Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, Disney, and also National Geographic. They were very open about that there. They also give some information on the new shows. But before we do that, make sure you hit that subscribe button on the video or the audio platforms. Okay, so like I said, it's definitely, you know, they definitely came out swinging with this one here. The name, Disney Plus. I was a bit like, that's kind of a good name, but as I'll allude to later on, there are some issues with it on the internet, but it kind of fits in with like the ESPN Plus kind of thing. And I'm wondering if Hulu Plus is going to be the next thing.
Yeah, the name is okay. It kind of gets across what it's trying to do and what it's trying to sell, but it's also not something that kind of rolls off quite as well as, say, Netflix or Hulu. So,
but it's also, it's straight to the point, isn't it? This is Disney. This is Disney's thing. If you want Disney, it is there. There's no confusion over whose streaming platform this is and what you're going to find on here. It's going to be very much the sort of family-friendly, laser-beam focus on the Disney products, the family-friendly stuff. There's just lots of bits of thing in. There was loads of news coming through. They announced a new series for Star Wars. There's going to be one based on
Cassian
from Rogue One. He's getting his own miniseries. So that's not only the second live action series, but that's the third Star Wars series announced for Disney Plus already. We've got the Clone Wars season. We've also got The Mandalorian, and now we've got this one as well. So that's cool. They've also officially confirmed that Loki is getting his own series on Disney Plus. So we know that it's definitely going to see more of this, and I'm sure we're going to see lots more other bits and pieces, but that's now been officially confirmed. There was also the confirmation. Well, I mean, we've kind of known it before, you know, Monsters, Inc. and High School Musical are getting their own series. They also announced that Disney Imagineering is going to be having their own show on here as well. There's going to be a show which debuted, I think Bob Iger said that it was about, he wanted to make a show that will really get the diehard Disney fans involved from the parks and stuff, which I think is a really smart move.
Yeah, because, you know, the advantage of having these streaming apps, Disney Plus or Hulu, is that you can do stuff for every type of audience, and it doesn't matter because they're all paying the same price, presumably. I'm going to assume it's a single tier pricing, at least to launch. But
I think the talk at the minute is going to be cheaper than Netflix. I think it'd be between like the $5 and $10 bracket, because there's not going to be as much on there to begin with. But I think it's going to be building. I mean, I think it depends on really on how well it goes.
Right. But either way, let's assume for the moment that it's a single tier pricing, and whatever that price comes in at. You know, if Imagineering is something that interests you, it interests me and you, but I mean, I suppose that's fairly obvious from the site that we're talking from here. So that's great. We can hunt it down. And at the same time, you and I, we don't have kids, so we don't have to worry about Mickey's Racers or, but the content's still there. So if you do have kids and you want to sit them down with Mickey's Treehouse or, you know, whatever the CGI show at the moment, or the Mickey's Racers, that's right there. And if you want something a bit more serious, you've got the Mandalorian live action show or the Cassian show. And they're really kind of showing that they're going to take advantage of the fact that when you have a streaming platform, you can literally put whatever you want on it, because the people who want to see it are going to go see it. And if you're not interested in seeing the Imagineering, then you're not going to watch it. You're going to watch other things instead.
Well, what the other big key thing here is they've set it up so that there's going to be very much, I think when you log in, you're going to have the five or these brands, and you click on the brand on the menu, and then you get all the stuff within that. So it's going to be a much more easier way of finding the content, I think, from within that. So if you're into the Marvel, you can find it all quite easy and sort of separate it out a little bit more. And obviously then you're going to have the subsections within. But I think the idea is They want to push those brands. You know, they specifically said it. They are also planning with Hulu to I think they're in a situation with that of until they've got full control over Hulu, they can't do a huge amount more with it. They'll have a 60% control, but they'll have to either buy out Comcast and also I think Warner Brothers or somebody else has got 10%. They want to get the full thing. They want to fully go into that and they fully want to use it. And they want to, I think it's primarily ABC, Freeform and all the Fox stuff. I think anything that's not family friendly is, or they might put a few things on there, but I think anything that kind of falls under the Disney family friendly zone is going to be moved over there. I think things like the Runaways, I wouldn't be surprised if that got moved over to, like Disney Plus eventually, and because anything that's where something like Daredevil doesn't fit, but I don't think Disney are going to make anything like Daredevil again, because there's a different audience. I don't think they might put it on Hulu, but I think the fact that they've got that big Marvel logo slapped on the front of the Disney Plus very much says that they want to focus on that.
I could see them doing maybe a little cross-pollination though, yeah. Because you know, you've got a market where people will be Hulu Plus subscribers and they don't really want to get a Disney, because either they don't want to get too many subscriptions, which I can totally understand. That's my main thing right now, is there's too many subscriptions and they don't want to kind of spread it all out. So you can get them both. You can get Daredevil in the app or you can get Daredevil on Hulu, and you don't have to get both because maybe you're not interested in the Imagineering and Mickey's Racers and the old Disney afternoon cartoons. Maybe all you're interested in are the Marvel live action shows, in which case Hulu might be the better option for you. So I could see them kind of doing both in certain cases where it makes sense.
Yeah. It's just that thing. If I look at like that in the moment, like The Gifted, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Runaways and Cloak and Dagger, they could all very easily be on Disney Plus. That fits in that family-friendly TV shows, whereas maybe like Legion doesn't, and Legion and like Daredevil don't, so that kind of makes a bit more sense. So it's good. And there's also apparently a TV show based on Falcon and Winter Soldier, that's something as well, and also rumors of a show based on Scarlet Witch. So they're definitely kind of going down that line, and it's going to be interesting to see where they're going into this. They've also said that they're aiming to launch internationally for both Disney Plus and Hulu. It makes a lot more sense. And more so with the Hulu side of things, now that the Sky purchase, kind of they lost control of Sky, because I think if they had Sky, they wouldn't have needed to Hulu to go international, because they would have had Sky outside already. But Disney Plus is going to be launched. You know, they will be everywhere. It makes sense. It makes a lot more sense to have one streaming platform globally. We've already got Disney Life here in the UK. So that instantly, I think, is going to be merged in with that, because they don't need to run to Disney Life was the trial bed for Disney Plus. You know, that's going to be coming in. But there's lots of other things as well. I mean, I think the fact that they're so predominantly saying National Geographic, which we did a podcast on this a few months ago about how National Geographic is going to fit into Disney. If that isn't a sign of, like, you know, seeing like the logos, and they have got this massive National Geographic sign next to the five logos, if that isn't how strongly they're looking at that as a Disney family friendly thing, nothing is it?
I wonder if National Geographic is going to make its way into Animal Kingdom. I was just kind of thinking, you know, this is kind of
definitely.
I mean, not a question of if it's going to, but how much of it could the Animal Kingdom actually become like National Geographic's presents Animal Kingdom? This is totally off the top of my head. This only just occurred to me while you were talking about it, but yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how they integrate it. And I'm glad that they're integrating it, because as we talked about in that previous podcast, there's a lot of very, very good content on National Geographic. So
it's going to give them a lot of back catalog, a massive back catalog to get people in, but also constant stream of kids shows, obviously as well, but adult stuff. I mean, over here in the UK, brand new TV series started literally as of recording like last night. You know, that stuff gets me in. I watch National Geographic bits and pieces all the time, so that's good that they, you know, that's something gonna be. And it's also a thing of, like, you look at that range of like Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, there's a nice range. And that's aimed at adults, not just kids. It's very much wide range. And I think that's going to be the key thing here of offering choice, which is what Netflix and stuff have done so well in the past, of offering different people different choices. And Disney Plus is not a kid, because Disney Life is a bit of a kid's, it's more of a kid-friendly thing, whereas Disney Plus is being pushed. You can see the way they're pushing it. It's not all about animated cartoons and the Disney Channel.
No, the sheer number of live action shows that they're talking about on the Disney Plus is pretty impressive. And it got me thinking about it, because, you know, a lot of it is backstory stuff for the various comic characters, Vision, Ant-Man, Winter Soldier, etc. Is they're kind of starting to treat these characters more like the comic versions of the characters, in that, yes, the Avengers are the big story and the movies are the major events, but yeah, you can have stories in between, because that's kind of the one thing the movies have been lacking, is you only get, you know, the Winter Soldier movie and the Civil War and, you know, Ant-Man having a heist that involves half the city getting destroyed kind of thing. They can do these smaller stories with the live action shows, which I think will be good to fill in the gaps. Cause right now all we see are the super intense moments, and these shows can do a good job of kind of building in, you know, showing them being competent at their jobs without having to worry about, you know, destroying the entire world or whatever. So that was kind of a tangent off of the original point, but yeah, they really are putting in something for everybody.
I mean, Disney are taking this very, very seriously. They've created a brand new division. And, you know, there's like, you're literally talking, there's the direct to customer consumer division. You've got television, you've got movies, and you've got theme parks and consumer products together. You know, it's like literally like a thing. They're investing so much money. I mean, Hulu is losing a lot, but they're investing so much in that. They've been investing in BAMTech. They've been really ramping up with ESPN Plus as well, because that kind of all ties into what they're doing. They know that the television networks are changing. You know, the days of having, you know, cable and satellite are going, and you need to have these streaming services. And they're going all in. They want to make sure that you subscribe to them. They want to make sure that if you want this content, because I, you know, you go on there and you read some of the things on some of the bigger websites, and people going, I don't want all these different streaming services. I might as well keep with cable. Well, cable was going to go regardless, and it's going to go back to the system of, you know, it's like for me. I mean, I subscribe to Amazon Prime. The only reason I got it at this precise minute and why I've not cancelled it is A, because I'm watching Cloak and Dagger, but also my wife's watching Outland. Once those two shows go, I'm not sure I'm going to carry on. Netflix, the only reason I got Netflix was for those Marvel shows. Once, I don't know, it's that kind of thing of, you know, you start taking all the stuff away. And a big one for me really is going to be Now TV, which is the UK version, where I get all my ABC and Fox stuff. And National Geographic, you know, if you take all of that, it's like, you know, once they lost Sky, and you start thinking, well, if they remove all of that from there and put on Hulu and Disney Plus, they're instantly removing that option and stuff of, you know, it is going to be more things. But I think Disney Plus, they know what they've got. They know they've got the content, they've got the brands, and they're going to want to push it towards it. It's going to be, like I said, going to be coming late 2019. They want to make sure they've got everything in. But they're also, they are starting to pull stuff off of other streaming platforms. And there's a lot of stuff not out there at the minute. Netflix, as stuff expires, they are not replacing them. They're also actively even buying their licensing back and paying for it. And I think actually with the fact that they're maybe not paying so much for Fox because of the Sky deals, they've probably got a little bit more money now to actually do this properly. You know, this is going to come in with in some ways I don't want them coming out with, they need a big back catalog to begin with, but they also need to stretch it out a little bit. You know, they don't want to be putting everything on there too quickly.
Yeah, and that is going to be the big concern is, one, how much content is available to begin with, and two, how quickly content joins the service. And it's going to be a very kind of thin needle to thread kind of thing, or however that phrase goes. Because if they launch with too much content, that's kind of a problem. If they launch with too little, then there's no incentive. And there needs to be a steady stream, but it can't be overwhelming, because at some point you're just like, Well, they launched four shows. I want to watch three of them, and I don't have the time to watch three of them. I'm just going to go do something else instead. But yeah,
I was going to say, I'm a little bit surprised they didn't push a little bit more on some of the other, like the ABC, Fox, like certain shows, like something like Simpsons and Family Guy. I mean, the only thing as I'm thinking is that they want to have some content on Hulu as well, as to push that promotion when they get it properly. But, you know, there's certain things like we say Modern Family or something like that, which I would view more as a Disney show, as a family friendly thing, rather than on Hulu. It's that weird line of, I was surprised with the logos and stuff of, like, I don't know. It just seems a lot of the stuff on ABC, you know, there's lots of shows I watch on there, things like Grey's Anatomy or Good Doctor or something like that, which I kind of, it's like, well, I can quite easily see that on Disney Plus, but I can see why they might want to spread that out onto Hulu. But it's a bit of an odd one, because, you know, if you've got a series about superheroes and Star Wars, a hospital drama is not that much of a stretch.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think that Disney very clearly wants an obvious line between what is Disney and what is ABC, or whatever ABC becomes. Star Wars, Marvel, Mickey Mouse, Pixar, etc. Those are very clearly identifiably Disney. I mean, in as much as, you know, Star Wars or Marvel is, but we associate them with Disney. It's amazing how many people don't know ABC is owned by Disney. Just like the number of people who don't know that NBC is owned by Comcast, or, you know, the stations that Fox owns and some of these other ones. Because they might have that little, like, copyright thing of a Comcast company, a Disney company. But how often do people actually pay attention to that? So, as we've talked about many times in the past, having that company that's not necessarily distinctly Disney, ABC, or, you know, back in the day, the movie studios that would release Touchstone movies like The Rock and Con Air and stuff like that, they get to have their cake and eat it too. Yeah. In that case, they get to have the quality programming that they want, hopefully, while keeping it separate from the Disney, so that when you think Disney, you're thinking Mickey Mouse, you're thinking Donald Duck, and so on. So I can see why they're doing it, though.
Yeah. I think also that things might change as things go on as well. The service, I think, will evolve, and they might cherry pick some of the stuff that maybe is on their other brands and move over. And, you know, if they think it might be more beneficial, then maybe they even start thinking actually running two platforms isn't cost effective. Maybe they will, you know. You could easily see them go, we just merged them all in, double the price, double down on having everything in one platform. You know, it does seem a little bit like running two streaming networks, right, or three streaming networks. Seemed a little bit over the top, but then they can kind of, like they say, they can, if you're not interested in sport, you're not going to get ESPN. But, you know, you have to wonder where it's all going to go eventually.
Yeah, and that'll be a question as time goes on, because they might, in 2021 or something, go, there's no point in us having both Hulu and Disney Plus, or a separate subscription for ESPN. We're just gonna merge it all in. But who knows? It's all still very much experimental space, even though we've been streaming for a very long time now, largely thanks to Netflix and Hulu. It's still kind of uncharted territories for the major companies to kind of jump in. Even Fox and NBC and these other companies, they're still trying to figure out what they want to do. I mean, CBS launched their streaming app a year ago with Star Trek Discovery, but I don't know. I don't hear about it too much. And most of the people who talk about Star Trek Discovery don't talk about it as being on the CBS app. They watched it in another way. I know over in Europe, you guys just get it on Netflix. So it's completely different over there.
I mean, that's the big problem as well, is like international rights. This is the biggest problem with the, like, American Netflix has a lot more than European ones, but it's like certain shows like The Handmaid's Tale and First, which is something I've just started watching, they've been on Channel 4 rather than on Hulu. And, you know, it's this kind of thing of, you know, as these rights deals run out, they will, you know, we had like The Runaways was on like Now, and, you know, this is the other big problem they've got, if they've got to start like bringing everything in And I would imagine in the last year or two, they've been very much aware of this and signing contracts that are very much more shorter and not quite so long. But, you know, deals are going to run out, things are all going to start coming in. In the future, you know, with everything being global, Disney Plus, it'll be like Netflix, where The Mandalorian is on for everybody. Everyone around the world can watch it at the same time because we've not sold the rights to anybody else. It is our thing. You can all watch it on the same time, at the same place. And that is what Netflix did and changed television. Because I think that global aspect of it really helped. When Stranger Things came out and everybody could talk about it and everyone could watch it at the same time, that changed how people, like, you know, on social media and stuff. It changed. Yeah, television's different to the way of spreading it out on different networks.
And not even just that, just spreading it out week to week versus dumping it all at once. So...
personally, I hope they actually do the week-to-week. I personally think that's a better model. Maybe give a couple episodes to begin with, but let everyone soak. You know, it's like The Mandalorian. You know, if they deliver us 8 or 10 episodes on day one, if they spread it out, then every week there's going to be that chatter about did you see it this week? Oh, this happened or that happened. Whereas when they do it all, everyone's like, where are you? I'm going to talk to you because just in case you're going to spoil it for me, but I don't want to spoil it for you either. You know, that kind of makes it a bit difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely a common office conversation. I was watching Daredevil. Oh, where are you at? Oh, I'm on season 2, episode 5. Oh, I'm only on season 1, episode 2. Or, yeah. Oh, wow, I finished season 3 last night. It's like, well, you know, none of this helps any of us because we can't really have a conversation about this unless you don't care about spoilers.
Yeah, but no, it's looking good. Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot more about Disney Plus and about Hulu and stuff. But on that note, I just want to make kind of a little bit of an announcement before we kind of move on. I have been working on a little side project, and it's kind of launching this week, which is a brand new website, whatsondisneyplus.com. It's all about the Disney Plus streaming network. Obviously, it's a year before, you know, the actual platform's not going to be launching properly for a while, but we're going to be building up with it because there's already quite a bit of news already. And so I've changed the Disney Extra, Disney Kingdom Extra channel. That's now becoming the What's On Disney Plus channel. There's going to be a new podcast feed. So this episode will be the first episode to go up on that on there. And generally, I'll be pushing this one a lot more, but this is something I want to be kind of growing on. And as we're getting ready for the launch and stuff, it's going to be something to grow, and the site is just going to continue to build. Something I actually had the idea of about 3-4 months ago about the new Disney streaming platform, and I kind of got a lot of it built up, ready to go, but I just kind of needed the name before we could really kind of go on any further. But yeah, definitely, if you are interested in the Disney streaming platform, that's going to be our home for everything. Is going to be over there. There is going to be podcasts and videos and stuff on there. Obviously not, and it'll be quite as much when we in the next few months, because there won't be as much to talk about. But if you're interested in Disney Plus, you definitely want to go check out the channel, subscribe on it's got on social media and stuff, but you'll definitely see a little bit more about that one. But I'll just kind of put that out there before we end it. But on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you check out both websites. James, where can they find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.